Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. All right. It's the Shooting USA podcast, and we're here on Krilling Range, the home of the Action Pistol Team, part of the AMU. And this is the first podcast with actual in-person guests. Today I've got Tyler Payne and Daniel Horner, fresh off of their win from the International Sniper Competition. Boys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk about that, first of all. Let's go right into that. And what's involved in that competition? I know I've been around it. I was around it in 2005, and we covered it for Shooting USA, but it's evolved a great deal since then. Tell me about you guys' experience there.
Well, they started us off a little bit differently this year. The first thing we did was the night event. We came in, registered, and went out and zeroed all of the weapons for all the competitors, and then went straight into the night shoot. So we were out there pretty late that night, and they gave us no real ranges to the targets. It was all took us out to the range. They told us there were five targets out there in this big field, and left it up to us to illuminate them and find them. We all had to use either thermal or infrared night vision. So it was up to us to find the five targets and then engage them. So they varied pretty much from about 200 yards out to about 800 yards.
Excellent. Now, what's your guy, Tyler, what's your role in this? Daniel, what's your role in this? Kind of describe for me how the team works out.
Well, I'm the primary shooter, and Daniel is my spotter. So he'll tell me all my wind holds and all my elevation calls and correct me if I miss.
Excellent. Well, honestly, having not known, and the reason why I asked that question is I would have thought that, Daniel, you'd be the primary shooter. So I'm interested to know, Tyler, how you've worked your way into that position. What is the background that gets you to be, you know, the precision guy here?
Well, typically the primary shooter is the less experienced person, the one that can't call the wind quite as good or can't do the math as fast or doesn't know what to look for as well. So that's how I got that role.
Interesting. Interesting.
He also got it because before he came in the Army, he worked for DPMS, and he one of his jobs was shooting groups for DPMS as their test fixture. So he can shoot a very, very, very accurate shot. So I can see the wind pretty well and do the math pretty well, but he can shoot a very small group with pretty much anything you give him.
Excellent. Excellent. Talk about the equipment you guys used in this match.
I had a Remington 700 chambered in 300 short mag on a Remington Rax chassis and a loophole 3.5-25 scope. That's really what I was running.
Mm-hmm. I used a JP LRP07 with a Leupold 3-18 scope with a H58 reticle. And it was chambered in 260. It was pretty much just a standard gun off the shelf. So
that H58, that's the Horus reticle?
It is. It's a Horus reticle.
Yeah.
It works really well because we also use it in our spotting scope. We use the spotter version of that reticle so that if I see a miss, I can correct him to within a tenth of a mil, which is a very, very small adjustment. So he can see precisely where I want him to aim now.
Excellent. Now, that's a question. With that Horus reticle, are you dialing your corrections? Are you dialing your dope, or are you actually just holding over?
If we have time, we'll dial our elevation and just hold the wind. Mm-hmm. But if it's a very fast, rapid engagement type thing, we'll just hold both of them.
Interesting.
There were two events where we actually ended up holding, and we don't like to because it's just one more variable. Mm-hmm. But if we have to, we can. And that reticle makes it very easy to do that.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Now, at the sniper comp that I was involved in, one of the highlights for me was the night insertion in the land nav. Did they do anything like that in this one?
This year they did. We actually went straight from the night shoot, came back, got a couple hours of sleep, and then we went right into the night movement in the stalk. So they kept us out late and then got us up pretty early and took us right out to the lane. We started from the sniper school and moved into one of the ranges from the schoolhouse. So we kind of got our brief, and then after the brief, it was up to you to get what you needed, get a plan, and get going whenever you felt like it. So there were guys that just as soon as the brief was over, they grabbed their gear and rolled out. There were guys that got the brief, got their gear, got ghillied up, got their face paint on, got the gun completely vegged up where you put the rubber bands around it and put the the natural vegetation in so that you blend a little bit better, and then went out, so they lost a little bit of time. We were kind of in the middle. We wanted to make sure that we were past all the observation points before the sun came up. Mm-hmm. It was very important because we actually made it with a couple of minutes to spare. I mean, we barely slid through there, and as soon as we got out the other side, we heard them start busting people.
Interesting. So you guys had already found your position where you were going to lay for your shot and before the sun came up.
Right. Yeah, we had a general idea where we needed to be. And then once we got through there, there was 36 teams that started. There were 18 teams got busted. So half the field got picked off as soon as the sun came up.
Wow. And that speaks a lot to the skill of the cadre in being able to see these guys move.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. I'm gathering that there's a lot of downtime for you guys. There's a lot of just laying in your hide. And what goes on between the two of y'all when you're doing that kind of thing?
We're usually pretty happy and cheerful, so we just joke around a lot with each other or with the other teams, and we just try to keep it an enjoyable environment versus some people talking about what went wrong on the last stage and beating each other up over it. We just like to have fun.
Try to keep it light. Excellent. And that's part of working together all the time, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still got to see him the next day, so right. Some of these guys get to go home and separate. We still got to stay somewhat friends.
Well, it's a monumental accomplishment knowing that the AMU has just recently started putting teams into this competition. Other guys have had some success, but this is the first time a team from the AMU on their first attempt has had the level of success you guys have had. What do you think is the combination there? What do you think led to that success?
One of the things that helped us the most was the guy that won in the past was on this team. So he kind of coached me and helped me out to see what they had done to prepare for the events that they had won. So I knew where I was. I kind of had an idea of where to start. And then when Tyler got here, it was easy to just fall right into it and then kind of take some of the training tips that they utilized and add them to our own. There was kind of the older thought 4 or 5 years ago of where you shoot each yard line and you collect your dope. And then there's the new train of thought where you plug it all into a computer. And we fall somewhere right in the middle. The guy before us was Robbie Johnson, and he didn't have access to the computers. The stuff just didn't exist 4 or 5 years ago to the refined level that they are now, and they weren't as good. We can literally plug in the algorithms, and they'll spit out the answer, but we don't rely solely on that. I memorized his dope and my dope, and he did the same thing, so that when we're in that hide, we can use the computers, and we have the computers, but we don't have to rely on them. We use the computers to get the answers that we memorized, but we don't rely on them for every single shot.
That's excellent.
And we also had the best pit puller and walker in the history of the world, Mr. Matt Sweeney.
Oh, yeah, Matt Sweeney's a pretty good guy. Awesome. So, I mean, it really is a total team effort. It's not just you two guys working out what you guys are going to do. It's relying on the experience from Robbie and presumably from St. John and other guys from the Action Pistol team helping out as you guys are training up going forward to this.
Oh, yeah. Everybody from the guys on the team, everybody on the team had a part in this for sure. And then our gunsmiths, the ammo guys, we couldn't have done it without any of them. It was all very much a team effort. So there were a lot of long, 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 long nights out there and a lot of early mornings, and that most of them were there with us the whole time. So,
right.
You know, it makes it a lot easier when you got that kind of support.
It's excellent. It's a fantastic accomplishment. Congratulations on that. I want to also talk about the multi-gun season this year and all of the time that's gone into that. You know, give me a breakdown on how it went this year for both of you.
I got started a little late because of my deployment, so I came in not quite at the halfway mark, just a little bit before it, and didn't have all the train-up time that I would have liked to have for three guns, so hopefully this year I'll be getting caught up.
Right.
I was able to get started right at the beginning of the year. And I think the first match was literally the day that Tyler flew out of country to go to Afghanistan. So I had probably four or five matches more this year than he did to get ready. But they've all been going really well. There's a huge shift in the three-gun world right now, where everything used to be hard shots and long range, and it's turning kind of to the other extreme, where it's just a lot of really, really fast hosem stuff. So it switched a lot, and it kind of made everything change, and it has shifted this year. So when Tyler got back, he caught it right at the very peak of change. So when he came back, he was like, you know, where did all this come from? It's all everything's within 10 yards, and you're just going as fast as you can, where we used to have to aim and make some good shots. But it's just a little bit different, and we're having to train differently for that format. So it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just a different thing.
Right, and it's an evolution of that particular sport. What do you think it is that has – because I think identifying that element or that fulcrum, whatever it is that's moving the sport, is interesting as we look forward in the sport.
The Three Gun Nation series that's come along this year kind of changed things quite a bit. It's a kind of a pro series match where it's made for TV, and all of the stuff there is, it's all right up in your face. It's all really fast. It looks really good on TV, and a lot of the big outlaw matches have kind of seen that and are replicating their version of it. So it's sped everything up quite a bit. It's just changed a little bit from what it used to be.
How much of it do you think is the new shooters, the club level guys that are coming into it? Maybe the guys that are coming through the pro-am style, where there are a series of courses of fire that are designed to be easier. How much of it do you think is that?
I don't really know if there's a lot of influence from them as much as it is the influence that the match directors see that it helps those shooters. The match directors, you know, they're the ones setting up the courses of fire. They're the ones designing what's going to happen. So they see the success that the AM side of the Pro-AM had this year, and they want to make it to where their match can be kind of seen in that light as well. They don't want to have to run two matches like Pro-AM did, but they do want the guys that are just kind of checking it out and wanting to see if this is something they want to do, they can come and be successful. So they're kind of seeing that they can do that and still keep it competitive.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I spent some time with your dad when he was setting up for Blue Ridge, and he has a completely different take on it. I mean, out of his mouth was down with 45-second stages. He wants long courses of fire. He wants demanding physical courses of fire.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's a core group of multi-gun shooters that want that also.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to his match and do well, you are a good shooter. I mean, you are able to put the sights on target and squeeze the trigger without moving them better than anyone else, because all the shots are tough, and you do have to be in a good, solid position. You can't just sling some rounds out there and hit anything at his match. It's a tough match, and I personally prefer that because it lets you go out there and use the skills that you've learned.
Tyler, what's your take on it?
I agree. With his match, you can't just go out and hose everything. You got 25-yard, 6-inch plates hidden in the woods with no shoots in front of them and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And it just makes you slow down and actually focus back to the basics, you know, and actually apply a sight picture and trigger control versus the new style where you just pull the trigger really, really fast.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to an extent, I think there's a place for both versions of the
definitely.
Sport.
Yeah, and I think there needs to be a balance. I think the match directors, when they look at their match, need to balance that to where it's not Texas multi-gun was the complete opposite this year. There was not one hard match one hard shot in the entire match. I mean, for 280-something rounds that the match required, there was not one shot that you really had to aim anything with.
Interesting stuff. Well, how has it gone overall? I mean, where do you stand at the end of the season? Do you consider it a successful season? You know, take me through that.
Yeah, I shot fairly well, and I'm standing pretty good. I mean, not as well as I'd like to be doing, but if you're not first, that's how it always is. So hopefully I can come back and do a little bit better next year.
I feel pretty good. Being able to train up and get to all the matches, that helped a lot. So right now I'm seated first, and Tyler's eighth for this shoot off coming up in January. So we're both doing well. We're real happy.
Excellent. What do you think it is about the USPSA Multi-Gun Nationals that's causing it to be so poorly attended? Why is that match not having the success that the others are?
That match this year was the best match as far as a balance of shooting, the running smoothly. That was the best match this year. It's the first year that it's ever been like that. And I think everyone has kind of seen a trend starting in, I guess, 06 or so, where the match was either a pistol match that you shot all three guns with, or it was in some crazy place in the U.S. that nobody wants to go. And now it's in Vegas. It's got a good match director. It's got a good course designer. It's got good stats. It's everything about it. They've really put a lot of effort into making it what all the other successful three-gun matches are, where people are getting professionals that do this stuff multiple times a year to come in and actually design their courses of fire so that it's a true three-gun match where you have long-range rifle targets. You have certain stuff that makes it a three-gun match, not just a USPSA Pistol Nationals that you brought your rifle and shotgun to. Mm-hmm. So I think I hope, anyway, that you'll see that turning around, especially after last year. Last year's match was a great match.
Good. Well, that's good to hear. The it's interesting, though, to see them continue to float right around the 130, 140 entrance when, you know, other matches out there like Fallen Brethren and all of these are up, you know, coming close
sold
to
out with a waiting list.
And you know, then you look at the Rockcastle AR15.com match, and there's 530 people there. Now I get it that it's two matches, but it begs the question: why are so many people coming to these other ones and not coming to the what arguably is the original three gun multi gun match?
The outlaw matches are just that. They kind of run exactly how the match director wants them to be, that, and they're a little bit different in that because they all have different match directors. They all see a different vision of what right is. So, and they all have their own little flavor. And Nationals just has never really had that distinct flavor to me up until last year. No one knows exactly what that match is about. You know, if you go to Blue Ridge, it's going to be a very difficult natural terrain match. You go to Iron Man, it's going to be a very high round count physical match. If you go to Rocky Mountain, it's a beautiful out in the middle of Raton with good natural rolling. Everything's got its own little quirk about it, and Nationals never really had that. Nobody really knew what to expect. They hadn't set a precedence. No 2 years were the same. And even though it comes down to, do I go to Nationals or do I go to this match that I know what's going to happen? I know it's going to be a good, successful match. And hopefully this year that will turn around where people see a trend at that match where it's a good match. You get to go to Vegas. It's relatively inexpensive as long as you stay out of the casino. it's hopefully will turn around, and I think it should.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. And I felt good about the fact that they want to keep it there in Vegas, even though they're going to move the other Nationals away from there and start taking those other places in the country. I think it's a good move on their part to make Vegas and Desert Sportsman's the home of their multi-gun championship.
Yeah, I agree with that. The gate guards there, though, man.
Well, you got to watch the dust. I mean, that's the thing. You got to go slow.
If you go to three-gun Nationals, don't speed up the driveway. Yeah, they will yell at you a lot.
You will get a ticket.
They get angry. They get very angry. And, you know, it's an that's another interesting point about that particular range. As Las Vegas is suffering under the foreclosure crunch and the down economy, and they've stopped building houses there, that range has gotten a bit of a moratorium from development continuing to push out towards Red Rocks. I mean, there was a couple of years ago when it looked like, man, next year there's going to be houses here and this thing's going to be done. Well, that development has stopped, fortunately for them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily fortunately for the people of Las Vegas, however. You know, it's
been great for three-gun nationals, though.
Yeah, it's fantastic for the shooting sports. It's a give and take. It's a give and take out there. Well, that's good stuff, man. What's next for you guys? Obviously, we've ventured into the precision rifle game, into the international sniper competition with fantastic success. I presume we'll do that again.
We really hope so. Right now, we've got a couple of classes we got to teach for the Army, and we've got we'll probably go just to play up in January. There's another sniper comp we'll go to right before the shoot off at SHOT Show. So we'll have two training classes for the Army, and then the sniper comp, and then another the SHOT Show shoot off.
Well, that begs an interesting point, and that is, it's a misconception by people that if you are a member of the marksmanship team, the AMU, and specifically the action pistol team like you guys are, that all you do is hang out, work out, shoot free ammo, get the best guns. It's not just that. It's you have a job inside the Army. I mean, this is legit work. This is not just exercise and shoot.
Oh yeah, it's all that, but you got to give back at least as much as you take. So we're out on the range training guys all the time. We do CQB, rifle, pistol, and sniper stuff. So we kind of run the gamut, and we train all different levels of soldiers. So, it might be pistol with basic trainees this week, and then sniper stuff with whoever next week. So it goes the whole gamut with every type of small arm. So
outstanding. That's good stuff. And that has to help you guys as shooters continue to focus and develop and sharpen your skills.
Definitely. The easiest way to learn something is to teach somebody else if you know what you're doing. So,
yeah, fantastic. Well, that is good stuff, man. I think the people are going to be excited to hear it. And this has been fun for me because this is the first time I've actually had a conversation with somebody sitting here as opposed to having them call in on the phone. So I think it was fun. I hope you guys will let me draw on your expertise and your knowledge again.
Oh, yeah, we appreciate it, John.
Awesome,
yeah, thank
man.
You.
We will. I got a little white snake to get us out the back door, but I appreciate it very much, guys. And we will do it again soon.
All right.